Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Yes, sirree, it's the Chuck and Julie Show sans Julie. She was to pick up our son and rush back, but while just picking up her son, the car broke down. It doesn't get any better. As the stupid COVID one, they said, well, somebody had tested positive, though no symptoms, and so no aftercare. The government you love, although I love the Charter Academy, is just Adams County School Board and all that driving nuts. But guess who we have? Yes, sir, Karen Catalin with us. So, Karen, great to have you join this program brought to you by Colorado Citizen Press, one of the few conservative outlets you can get the real news, including what's happening in Denver and all over the state. There she is. How's it going, Karen?
It is great to talk to you, Chuck, and I hope Julie will be along shortly, but
we never have
a problem with stuff to talk about, that's for sure.
That's right. Well, let's go to our favorite murder, the one of Lee Keltner, which Channel 9 is brought in a crack crew to hide their culpability. It's just revolting. It's just revolting.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking how much Soviet or maybe Maoistic propaganda skills are being used right here in Denver and all around the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that for a major local television network to be so caught up in it is indicative of the kind of times we're living in. Every day, the story just unravels more and more and more. And Pete and I don't get along much, but I like what he said, that the murderer who is probably just charged today is a lot like Lee Harvey Oswald. He doesn't realize he's a useful idiot.
Yeah, and he appears everywhere. He's at Channel 7 for a debate, carrying his gun. It's amazing how many places.
Actually, I'm talking about the actual killer who seems to have been set up for this when everybody else is skating. What happens when he starts talking in order to have them go easier on him? He knew those people that they were hanging out with, right? And yet they're selling him down the river. And Black Guns Matter guy was out provoking everyone so that they could get a big story on the news. So
I hate to tell Peter and you. I hate to tell Peter and you. There's no one pressing him to go higher up. There's no one pressing him to get the Black Lives Gun Matter. They're not going to press him to give up somebody at Nine News. There's no one to press. And since they don't want to go to, they don't want to indict anybody at Channel News, they're not going to ask him. They're not going to, he can come to him and say, hey, look, you know, it's like the person who went to the FBI with the Hunter Biden laptop, right? The FBI, yeah, great, thank you. Are you going to do anything about it? No, we're not. So if Peter and you think that they're going to press this guy, they are not. They will not press him.
You mean there's not going to be a, what was his name? The nightclub owner who shot Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right. I'll remember.
No, nobody like that is going to come out and shoot him because they own the press. They own the media. And apparently they own the DA's office, I guess.
Yeah, they own the, I promise you they own the DA's office. And in fact, I was somewhat surprised that they indicted him in second degree murder, but she has an election coming up in a few days. So they figured, maybe afterward we'll make our deal and then we won't have to worry about anything.
I like what you said, that if they charged him with first degree murder, it means they were going to try to get him off.
Yes.
Because they couldn't prove first degree. So I was happy to see them go for second.
Right.
But nobody is a bigger expert and in her wheelhouse than Julie Hayden doing investigative reporting all over the place. I've had her on twice last week.
All right. And she's on Peter's show and everything else. It's just it's just great stuff. But how do you see nationally the race going?
Oh, my
president
God.
And all that.
You mean the president and all that? Anybody who thinks they absolutely know what's going to happen is, a better man than me. I remain cautiously optimistic, but I also remain humble in knowing that anything could happen. What I continue to say, and I will say probably until November 3rd, is this is for all the marbles. All the marbles. Everything. What you've got is Chinese-style communism. Really. Even I was a little, cautious about calling it, communism. But what we've got is an unfolding communistic kind of takeover in the offing. And when I see yard signs of perfectly, apparently nice people, don't know them, with Biden signs on their lawn, it blows my mind that they have no clue the stakes in this election.
Or maybe they do. And it is extraordinary. So I went to ABC to see their coverage on Hunter Biden and the whole scandal he's erupted. Mm-hmm. Zippo! Not a thing. And then they had Joe Scarborough go on his morning show saying, it's all a lie. It's all Russian disinformation. I mean, extraordinary.
There's rules that you can come up with if you're watching. And of course, you and your listeners are watching. And that is whenever people like Twitter, like giant mega corporations, take the extreme, and they're becoming more and more common, to censor such information, you know that is precisely what threatens them most. That's what you got to look at, is motive. If that's what they're threatening, I mean, are they really going to censor that the sky is blue or the sun is coming up in the morning and it's false information? Of course not. It's so blatantly obvious. It's insulting to the intelligence, isn't it?
It really is. Ben has provided us Jack Ruby's name as the nightclub owner.
Jack Ruby. Why couldn't I remember the name of Jack Ruby? I got too much going on in my head.
It is just amazing. And you love the presidential debate commission, who couldn't be more crooked themselves. And they've got the latest moderator who's going to be just horrific, as if Steve Scully. With his, Twitter. No, okay, maybe it was.
And we always have to deal with these people.
Right.
Because if you don't, you either get no coverage at all, or you have to get really rotten, horrible coverage,
right.
Which means that the only way to deal with it is precisely the way Donald Trump deals with it, is to fight back. That's what he does.
And he does a great job of that. He is not a great debater, having debated since fifth grade. And I'm sure he had a lot of great debate coaches said, I'll do it.
Well, you know what he did in the last debate? I don't think it served him. I agreed with you. I don't think it served him. But I really think he was trying to get Biden off his game. And it didn't work well.
No.
I think that people had given him information that Biden can be easily distracted, obviously. And it was going to be easy to expose him. The funny little thing is, all you really got to do to expose Biden is to let him talk. That's it.
That's brilliant.
All you got to do.
Sometimes you're better off letting somebody talk, letting him go on.
Yes.
Let him explain.
Right.
I think he'd have been well served to do that. Maybe he'll do it this time, or maybe he won't. But they'll get no Hunter Biden questions. They'll get none of the thing. But I have to say, and maybe it's just the competitor in me, but I'm feeling optimistic. I'm looking at the statistics from Florida.
Good to hear.
Yeah,
but why? Tell me why. Tell us why.
Three or four things. I don't trust very many polling outfits, but these days I do trust Gallup, and they just came out saying more people identify themselves as Republicans and Democrats, which is the first time in 20 years. Two, the early voting in Florida, which Trump has to win. He has to win Florida. They've been pouring out today, which is good because the mail ballot ones were Democratic early on. Mm-hmm. The most recent Trafalgar poll in Pennsylvania shows it down to 1.1% Biden ahead. And an enthusiasm level of Trump supporters could easily overcome that. James in Michigan is beating Peters, the Democratic one. So that means beating, but very close margin, 1 point. But that means that, you know, low voters are also probably going to vote for Trump. And it's, you know, if they can win that and a couple others, will make up for the ones that are inevitably going to lose, which unfortunately probably includes Colorado. But I can't say that Cory Gardner's run the greatest of campaigns, but Republicans don't run the greatest of campaigns in Colorado, so he still might win. And so I've just seen a lot of, and you can't help but watch those Biden-Harris rallies with five and six people in circles, and then see tens of thousands with Trump, and don't think that, well, that's got to matter a little, the enthusiasm.
It's a total replay of 2016 with the added plus that now those cautious voters like the Randy Corcorans and others have seen what Donald Trump's about. They've seen what he does rather than what he says or how he says it. And all those cautious types far outweigh the few, let's see, George W. Bush's who...
Craig Silverman.
I could do 2 hours on Craig Silverman. I really could. And he's so arrogant and grandiose that this will get back to him simply because he loves to hear his own name spoken, but he won't answer any fair question about why he sold out everything he ever believed in, including, not that I'm very angry about this, you understand, the Jewish people for, you know, to try and get on CNN once. Right. Anybody with half a brain knows that's what he did. And hey, I'm independent, so I can say so. And I tweak him every now and then because I can. Yeah. It is astounding to me, isn't it, that communism, socialism, and Jew hatred, the likes of which we've never seen by communists in New York City, Andrew Cuomo and elsewhere, can suddenly get a guy. Thank God Jews are not all like that, but, you know, we're a strange bunch.
Right.
To suddenly act as if Donald Trump is like the worst thing since corned beef on white bread. I mean, really, it's insane. One day, Craig Silverman is going to have to answer for his selling out his integrity. And I hope most people don't answer his phone call because he never answers ours. He never answers on Twitter. He never answers anywhere else. And my, I sound so mean, don't I?
No, you sound bold and brave and determined. Well, we got a call from Don in Colorado Springs, so let's get him on. Don, thank you for joining.
Hi, Don.
Hello, Karen. You're one of those Jews I like to support along with Levin and the Shapiros and the Pragers.
Yeah, you know what, Don? When Jews are in their right minds, they really do make a lot of sense. Unfortunately, like Rabbi Lapin says, the fact that 78% of Jews vote Democrat is proof positive that the myth of Jewish higher intelligence is purely a myth.
Well, you know, it's just the Norman Lears and all those Hollywood types that you kind of have to contend with. And when I say the Shapiros, I also include his younger sister, Abby, who's been doing videos here on YouTube.
Well, now, you know, Shapiro, Ben, was a very, very big hater of Donald Trump.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. I was skeptical of Donald Trump myself, as many other talk show host personalities.
Right. And what turned you in particular?
Well, I mean, I did vote for the guy because Dan Bongino made a good case, and I mean, you know, that's for starters. But I look at his record. I look at what he has done, you know. I mean, what he's trying to do. I mean, the record speaks for itself. No different. I mean, he's no Ronald Reagan, but I think he's trying to be, you know, a runner-up to him, you know. I mean, the guy.
Don, you know what I think? I think he's better than Ronald Reagan. How about that?
I'd have to agree with you.
How about that? Fights better.
I mean,
let me say why, and then I would love to hear your thoughts. Ronald Reagan certainly was made out to be a bumbling fool by the left, but never in the history of this country has a president been framed that I know of, and blatantly so, spied upon. Pretty much the entire political establishment go after him in order to topple him personally and in every way. And never has there been a better fighter in order to, and equipped to fight back. He just keeps on a winning, and that makes him that much angrier.
I mean, yeah, that's Donald Trump's style, make no mistake. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, Ronald Reagan still had that articulate element that, I mean, a lot of people in politics do miss. But, you know, either way, Trump loves his country. I mean, you see it in the you see it in his record. You see what he's trying to do. I mean, and yes, he moved the embassy, our embassy in Israel, from a major metroplex in Israel to the capital of that respected country. I mean, you know, and people complain about that. Why does it have to be a metroplex? It should be the capital. It is the capital.
Would you mind
the Holy Land?
With Chuck's permission, I'd like to ask the caller a question because it ain't my show.
Go ahead. You take over everything anyway.
Do you think? Well, I don't want
no,
that.
No. Come on.
Pushy, white, middle-aged woman who complains a lot, the Karen, which I cop to. How do you think Ronald Reagan, with his happy warrior style, would fare with the likes of the hard left of today?
That is a $64,000 question. You know, and the honest thing is, you know, Reagan's time was not the time today, because you're dealing with more of the radicals. When what you stated, the communists, the Marxists, they really think that they're finally going to usher in America into this new age in which we can finally prove that communism works. So it's a different time. And
I hate that argument, whether it works or it doesn't work.
Well, let me
care whether it works. But can I say Ronald Reagan? He would be put through a paper shredder.
Well, okay. I guess I disagree with
that. I would have to agree with you.
I would not agree with that. I'll give you my view. The Ronald Reagan you saw was a somewhat milked down Ronald Reagan by the time he got to his late 70s. He really was milked down. If you watch Ronald Reagan, there's a wonderful lefty movie called Berkeley 69, in which Ronald Reagan, when he was younger, fighting against Mario Savo and all the left wingers. And he was great. I mean, I was shocked because I remember, you know, the kind of the Ronald Reagan that got snookered by the 86 Immigration Act. But that younger, and I can tell you that Donald Trump is a younger version of Ronald Reagan. He doesn't have his bon vivant to it. But that Ronald Reagan fought hard. So if you could have gotten an earlier Ronald Reagan, I think he would have been better off. But I'm happy enough to call him one and
both
two.
Both of you have made great points on this.
Yeah. So it's great, though. But we're all going to...
As far as Colorado's concerned, I mean, you know, Peter Boyle thinks that Corey's had it, you know, and they're pulling out
He's
the
He's not the only one, Don. Democrats are pulling all their money out of Colorado, not because they think they'll lose, but because they think they'll win.
Well,
sadly.
That's the point.
Let me give you my view on that one, too. I became a PCP not because at age 70 I wanted to be a grunt in the Republican Army, but I really wanted to see. I said, okay, I'm going to be PCP. I'm going to do everything I can. I'll see what they do. Nothing. There's nothing. There's no materials to hand out. There's no phone calls to be made. There's nothing. It's Zippo.
I don't want to be Republican in this state because of all of this. And Peter Boyles has called him out again. This is why I think so many people don't want to be in the Republican Party if they're just going to give lip service and just become soft left Republicans like the Bushes, and they would rather have George H.W. Bush over Ronald Reagan in 1980.
Well, look at Ryan Call, the most well-known Republican chairman, and he's a Democrat. He's voting for Biden, and you have all these ones that not one of them. They're all
you know what really busts my booty.
They're soft leftists.
George H.W. Bush, Mitt Romney. All of these guys, including our local guys like Ryan Call and the rest, they lied to us all along. Did they not? They took our shoe leather.
Capitalism.
They took our money. They took our support. And they said they were conservatives. It doesn't take a brain surgeon. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to vote against communism in the United States of America in 2020, no matter what you think of Donald Trump. They can't do it.
Everything is where
they're
the
crony capitalist, soft leftists. They love the globalism.
Yes.
Get in there, Chuck.
Well, they got, Phil Anschutz, love the guy, know him just barely. He hates Trump. And all the money guys hate Trump.
Hey, it ain't personal, Sonny. It's strictly business. It is about saving the country. I love Trump. I don't care if people hate Trump's guts personally. But
and
this
eventually,
election,
you know what?
Point, wait a minute. Let me finish. This election at this point is not about Trump anymore. It's about saving this country.
Well, but thank
if
God
Biden
it is about-
wins, the country's done for.
Thank God it is about Trump, because quite frankly, I can't see another Republican. I like the senator from Missouri. I like a few others. But Donald Trump, and I don't think he intended to keep every promise. I don't think he had any, but he became that. He became a promise keeper. And he's become one of the few people.
I think he did.
No, I don't.
He tried to fulfill most of the promises.
Look at Paris Peace.
Yeah, with the Congress.
Yeah. Look at Paris. He talked about, giving amnesty for DACA. He had his daughter Ivanka and his son-in-law almost convinced him not to.
You got to know what to believe, Chuck. I think he always knew what he was going to do. He always likes to eyeball the competition. That's why he had Mitt Romney in his office.
I'll take an imperfect Trump. I'll take an imperfect Trump because all people are imperfect.
He's not perfect.
He's
no,
yeah,
but you know what? He will listen and listen to anybody, but he knows in his own mind what he intends to do, and he knew it all.
He was not a polarized person in New York. He was none of those things. But he is today the best president that's ever been in my lifetime. I can tell you that. Better than any of them. So I'll take it. Donna,
hey, I'm with you, Chuck.
We'll give you the last word.
But I mean, the thing is, even if Trump gets the election and we get a second term, then, he'll honor it and then we have to move on. Eventually, there'll be a Democrat that could take the office. We've got to think about, maybe the possibility of speaking out at the local levels and maybe even the possibility of a civil war. The Liberty Tree must be given some nourishment once in a while. You just can't sit back and roll over while these would-be tyrants just take you for granted and exploit you and get rid of people that they like, in the attempt to make their brave new world. I mean,
thank you, Don.
It'll still be there, Karen. The end of America, it's still going to lurk there. The biggest thing, in my honest opinion, that we really need is a Judeo-Christian revival. Without that, forget it.
All right, Don. Hey. Appreciate the thought. Take care. We'll go to Charlene from Denver on line two. Hey, Charlene.
Oh, hi there, Karen and Chuck.
Hi, Charlene.
In regard to Reagan, he had that wonderful comeback, "There you go again." He was just so good at neutralizing confrontation. But it was a different era. Trump has a lot of great comebacks, but the media doesn't tell us about them. So we don't get to see all the great comebacks unless we're watching, you know, right side broadcasting or, you know, alternative media. But I just wanted to mention, I think Cole Wist has gone to the dark side too.
You know, yes. Some of
the Republican he was parties. On the dark side a long time ago when he pushed the gun bill.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
Cole Wist was the minority second in charge in the House under Patrick Neville. And while Patrick Neville went to Washington to fight off gun restrictions, Cole Wist got together with George Brockler, I'll have to say, and betrayed everyone, saying that they thought this red flag bill would just be great. He's since come out and support Joe Biden.
Oh, has he really gone that dark where he's supporting Joe Biden?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew he was headed that direction. But can I just say this, and Karen, this is specifically to you because I've heard you mention this before, but in regard to the Channel 9 issue, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way to fight back. And, you know, I feel like mainstream media and, you know, the leftists are going to come after anyone who is a patriot and call them a white supremacist and paint us that way. And anytime we try to go on a peaceful rally, we're going to be painted as the provocateurs instead of the other way around. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I remember back to Martin Luther King and then reading Gandhi, where the best nonviolent, where they couldn't be portrayed as anything but nonviolent, was when they boycotted the sponsors of, like, I'm boycotting all the sponsors on Channel 9 News. Mm-hmm. You know, every night I watch to see who the sponsors are, and then I
Gandhi did that in his famous Salt March. Yeah. So what did you have a question for me? I love hearing you talk. I love that you still listen to Chuck and Julie, even though you're not quite as close as you used to be. Did you have a special question for me? I'd love to answer.
Well, I'm asking you, do you think that's a good approach to fight off the left's advances, the boycott method?
As I wrote a piece just this morning that dropped that said Complete Colorado at my website about masks, about the suffocation of masks. The mask mandate continues to suffocate liberty. And refusing to comply with outrageous, unjust, unconstitutional orders is a good act of civil disobedience. When it comes to fighting these people who, I think what is totally symbolic and endemic of everything we are watching from now forward is what happened to Julie. While Julie got punched and assaulted, there's some woman, some person screaming in her face, get your hands off me, get your hands off me. And that is one of the primary strategies of the left, is to provoke and then to claim victimhood. I don't know if a Gandhi strategy would work in a situation like that. I just assume use my megaphone or my microphone here. I'm curious to know what Chuck thinks about that.
Well, since I've been Julie and I were subject to one of those efforts on the left, let me tell you how it's done. It's more important that the fact that you are not using or will not sponsor any of the sponsors does nothing per se, unless you call the sponsors and tell them, I am not going to buy any of your products because you're on Channel 9. And you have to do it with a whole group of people. What the left has done is they can get a Twitter bot, they can get five or six people, inundate a advertiser, and they think hundreds of people are calling in. They literally do. They think hundreds of people are calling in. Then other ones threaten their... Yeah, I tell you what a good one is. I don't think we should do it, and I wouldn't do it, but they would call our advertisers and threaten to kill their employees. That lost us various advertisers. So if you want to watch how they do it, they're incredibly effective, but you have to come as part of a group, and they did it, quite frankly, with Rush Limbaugh, and they did it as Sean Hannity, and almost got those people off the air. too. So it has to be part of Go ahead, Charlene.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, individuals make up a group, and if each individual takes it upon themselves and lets a sponsor know that's what they're doing, then it will have an impact. And that's how, BLM got so many of corporate America to institute these trainings, because it was a threat of a boycott. And actually, they promise boycotts when they don't have that many people in their numbers. We've actually got more people in our numbers because they're scattered
and organized. And you have to have an organized group to do it. I hate to say it, but have to do it all in one rush. It has to be, tens and twenties, and they're getting all these Twitters, and they think the whole world is ascending upon them, as they did with Rush Limbaugh.
Exactly.
They made it seem so.
Yeah, exactly.
And the only reason Rush Limbaugh succeeded is because he was so diffuse and had so much syndication.
Right.
That he was immune to them. From an inside base.
Well, he wasn't totally immune because he almost lost his program. So it's
And then
I think we should do the same thing if we just agree to do it. And also, I want to say I'm very supportive of. I live in Arkansas now, but I'm visiting in Colorado this couple months. But very supportive of Chuck and Julie always and forever.
So, yes, she's been one of our greatest supporters. There's nobody better than Charlene. Nobody is better.
You have been. You have been.
You've been great. Well, thanks for the call, Charlene. Good to talk to you.
Bye, Charlene.
Thank you.
All right.
Chuck, can I make a comment to Don, who I hope is still listening?
That's our producer.
Don
in Colorado.
Caller Don. Yeah, caller Don. When he said in 4 years, this and this and this is going to happen. I filled in for a new program this morning called Power Hour, and among my guests was Trevor Loudon. He's just extraordinary. Nobody does what he does. Nobody does the research he does.
Right.
And he said many things that always surprised me when I have him on. And that was, he said, all bets are off. That's what I've been saying. God forbid Biden gets in. All bets are off. The country is lost. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's true that I can see. But if Trump wins, he says it's a lot easier to shut these people down than you think. So to project into the next 4 years would be a mistake because these people have now been exposed. He said you can very easily shut down these communists that are trying to infiltrate this country. He says BLM is clearly backed by the Chinese communists, and we know that. And that is how you shut them down. But you need a Donald Trump to do it. People say, well, Donald Trump is only one man, but guess what? It's those reins of power that the Democrats are so covetous of. Donald Trump gets another 4 years, you will see him take care of business. And that's what they're afraid of.
And the reason why it's Armageddon, and I agree with you that it's Armageddon, is because they plan to get rid of the Electoral College. Pack the Supreme Court. They plan to pack the Senate. And they will do anything and everything to destroy free press, free association, free everything else.
But I mean, you and I do.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Will be gone. The Bill of Rights will be a relic of the past. And so few people understand that. For them, it's all about, and I heard this morning about someone, he'll shut down the country again. So I guess I'll vote for Trump. Look, if that's what it takes to get them to vote for Trump, it shows that people still vote their pocketbook, but it still blows my mind that, God willing, Trump wins. We will have dodged a bullet that makes the Bay of Pigs look like romper room. Okay.
Karen, I want to thank you so much for staying on for the extra time and gracing us with your wonderful presence. So you've been just great as always. Thank you.
I love talking to you. Can I give a shameless plug?
Please do. Absolutely.
I am thrilled, although there's not even a banner on my website yet, But Spouting Off is expanding to Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m.
Excellent.
And I will be on terrestrial talk radio on WSMN 1590 AM and 95.3 FM. And you'll be able to listen online because obviously you're not in New Hampshire and neither am I.
Yeah.
This is out of Nashua, New Hampshire.
Excellent.
It's the beginning of many new syndication, and this isn't syndication. This will be live talk radio. So Tuesdays
Fantastic.
And Thursdays at 1 and Friday
just
at
You just go on your computer, right? You just go on your computer for all the people out there?
Well, this, as I say, Tuesdays and Thursdays will be New Hampshire talk radio and what a funny thing. It'll be called Spouting Off with Karen Cataline, but it will be live and you can call in. But if you go to my website, you will be able to, there will be a player button so you can listen.
You're just
live
growing
stream.
And growing. It's just a growing and growing. And, it's
and
great.
So are you. And
oh, thank you.
I'm such a fan of both of you. I try to catch your show whenever I can.
That's
and
amazing.
I'm honored to be with you and stand with you.
All right. Thanks very much. The great Karen Cataline is expanding and expanding, which is just wonderful. We've got our heretofore missing Julie Hayden coming in. Now I'm taking off the screen.
Yeah, no, Chuck, no more Chuck. No,
no
more Chuck.
Chuck. Chuck is gone.
Karen, thank you so much. She does a great job. Yeah, we had this is all Polis's fault. Here, I'm going to turn this down.
There we go.
All right. This is all Polis's fault because the governor and Hancock and Adams County are trying to make COVID even worse. So even though at Rev School, no one has COVID, someone who knew someone who waved at someone who once met someone who might have tested positive, they don't have any aftercare. So I had to go get Rev. And then should I share my adventures?
Yes,
this
yes,
is
sir.
Terrible. Anyone who's ever been in a drive-through line to pick up kids can probably relate to that. And if you can't, think of one of the most embarrassing moments in your life and it'll be kind of close. So we're all in line waiting to pick up our kids. And my car died.
That's a single line, right?
It's so a single
died,
line.
I mean,
if my car died,
it's backed out to the highway.
It was awful. And the bad residents, I couldn't even put on my hazard. And the school people are looking at me. I'm
screaming
like,
screaming at you, move it, please.
No, actually, I have to say, they were so lovely. And this very nice man, and I don't know his name, but I am. I'm blushing now. It was so embarrassing. I'm forever indebted to him. He came and he jumped the car. So all's well. That ends well. And I hope, thank you so much to the folks at the Academy of Children's Schools. I'm really sorry to all the parents out there that my car died and I messed up the.
It's Julie's fault. You can always count if something goes wrong. It's Julie's fault.
It's like, oh my God. All those parents are like, you're kidding us, right? Your car has died in the middle of the pickup line. I'm like, I'm sorry. But everyone was very nice.
All
everyone
right.
Was very
well,
nice.
She's back just in time. We promised everyone to give us our ballot picks. And sometimes there's a disagreement between us. I'm not sure there is one this time.
No, that's when we agree.
And so let's go down them, Julie. Each
okay.
one, and there are 11 of them.
And we can go over this a little bit more maybe on Wednesday
and
also.
And Wednesday, and we'll put it up on our website. So Amendment B, repeal the Gallagher Amendment.
No.
That way is massively skyrocket the residential rates will go up. Property taxes will go massively up. The business will not go down. They're not going to decrease their levy, maybe a little bit to begin with, and then just rip it. Just rip it. So it's a terrible one. Yes. Let's see, Dick Wadhams.
There are some Republicans who are for this, but those are going to be your big business Republicans. I know the Colorado Rising Action folks are opposed to it. And bottom line, this is my thing on it. It's a little complicated. What this would do if the Gallagher Amendment limits local government's ability to basically to raise your property taxes.
For residential.
And they're all whining, all the governments are, because they need more money.
Right.
More of your.
They don't care about the little businesses and they won't help them.
No.
But you also got Senator Hank Brown who says he's for it. And I have to say, if Dick Wadhams and Hank Brown are for something, I'm being against it. As much as I like both people, they represent the establishment one who hates the populace, hates kids and families and everyone else. And that maybe seem extreme, but they don't support the Trump agenda. I mean, they sort of came around reluctantly, sort of maybe a little bit. But they represent what has been the Republican Party in Colorado for 50 years and why the Republican Party in Colorado is one of the reasons why it's in
Well, they're listening to big businesses and you know, so vote no on the Gallagher Amendment. And
that's Amendment
if
B.
anybody wants to call in, 888-627-6008.
Ben has texted us no.
No on B. That's right. Ben, and you know these, so if you disagree, feel free to pop in and or even to offer your opinion. But to go through them, Amendment C, conduct of charitable gaming, no on this one. Basically, this has to do with like letting nonprofits have bingo games and pay people at the bingo games. I don't know. I guess
it's one more effort by the gambling lobby and others to get into the thing. If it's more gambling in Colorado, and I was a big gambler and I still love to gamble, but it's a joke. Whatever they want, you don't want. It's bad for you and it's good for them. So that's no on
that
on C. Now, Amendment 76, citizen qualification of voters. We've had lots of people on that. You would think that we'd be okay because we have a statute that says
that you have to be a citizen to vote.
That means that your tricky legislature would get rid of that with the Democratic control in a minute, in a New York second.
This would make it a part of the Constitution.
So Ben is agreeing
with us. No on C. So yes, on you have to be. It should be a no-brainer. You have to be an American citizen to vote in an American election.
Amendment, local voter approval.
But you didn't say it. Amendment 77.
Local voter approval, casino bet limits in Blackhawk, Central City, and Cripple Creek. This is the same gambling hoax they've been doing. Oh, we'll let the local people decide.
Well, and they say,
and we'll pay them off, and then it'll be all set, and we'll just. Well, just, you know, having gambled a lot, I mean, I used to bet millions, and now I could bet millions because you know, I'd get the odds.
Because you didn't have a wife.
No, I didn't have a wife, but I'd get down to, that's over an entire weekend. But that if you're only a losing percent of a half of 1%, you can keep your losses to $10,000 if you do that. But you will lose it. I mean, I guarantee you there, if, you know, it's absolutely, it's just going to beggar people. And the government wants to do everything. They want to shoot you up with heroin. They want to teach your kids, you know, how to have their sex changed. Everything the government wants in this state stinks. And so the people, people want to say no.
Yeah. So I would, and this one is, okay. Oh, yep. Ben is agreeing with us there too. Taxes on nicotine products. Basically, this would kind of raise cigarette taxes and then start taxing vaping products. We agreed on this one too. I'm just saying a no on that one, just in general, but don't need to keep taxing everything to death. Right. And here again, I think it's kind of the behind the scenes maneuvering here vaping people and the nicotine people are trying to get on the good side of the Democrats and each other without being taxed too much.
What this really is get vapors.
Right.
And the nicotine people say, and also get inexpensive cigarettes. So they, on premium cigarettes, they'll raise it none. On the smaller guys, they'll represent it huge amounts. It's another crooked Democratic ploy.
So basically, it's good, bad. Always vote no on any kind of tax increase. I think in general, if you're looking, if it's talking about putting on a new tax, just vote no. Proposition 113, no. This is the national popular vote one. You want to vote no on this. The Colorado legislature, run by the progressive Dems, they passed a law that said Colorado's going to join this interstate compact, which means that all of the states are going to allow our vote to go to California. I mean, in essence, is what that does. If not California, then New York City, and maybe Illinois. So you want to vote no on this one because we want to keep what it would do is it would give the electoral college votes to the popular vote, which gives smaller states like Colorado no voice.
But I mean, California could cheat even more. And they can cheat so the Colorado votes is irrelevant. They will cheat. They'll give it. Right. They'll give the vote to illegal aliens. They will cheat here. They will cheat there. This is one of the biggest no's. Is 113
exactly? Ben Nicholas weighing in on this. Hey Ben, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's easier for me just to answer in person than type all these agreements I had with. This one is another one of those ones that I think that absolutely. You know, we don't need any of these larger states selection, you know, as far as our popular vote, unless it's maybe if we tie our vote to Texas.
Yeah.
I don't think you see any liberals excited about that one. They're all banking on California. So, no, let's just keep our votes to ourselves. That's the reason.
And here's the thing. Ted Trimpa was retweeting. I love Ted. He's a progressive Dem, retweeting Jared Polis's endorsement saying vote for this. So here's another thing. If Ted Trimpa and Jared Polis are for it, nice news. As Ted Trimpa is, we're against
all
it.
All right, 114. Probably reinduction of management of gray wolves.
No, exactly.
They're just trying to screw the ranchers. So they want all the votes from the. They're not going to reintroduce the gray wolf on the front range. They're going to introduce it on the western one to kill the ranchers and the hardworking small businesses. I mean, it's a sick environment.
Well, and think of this. I was reading, somebody was tweeting about they didn't know how to vote. And I was like, and it was a person who lived in sort of like downtown, very urban, hip person. I'm like, imagine if they said, release wolves in downtown Denver, Cheeseman Park, Congress Park. Would you want that? It's like, no, you don't want that one either.
So. All right, 116.
115.
115. Prohibit abortions after 22 weeks.
Yes.
Yes,
I voted for that, even though it's such a lightweight, it's a misdemeanor for any doctor who performs an abortion before that.
Right. So
that's just, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Right. And Ben, you know what I'm going to say too? I think that there are some people on the Republican conservative side who are becoming very smart, and they're kind of like the Dems, where you want to just kind of incrementally, right? Don't try to go for the whole grand slam and say ban all abortions in Colorado. No one will ever pass that. But you want to say, because I think what it does too is it raises the conversation when people are like, wait a minute, in Colorado, you can abort a baby?
As it's
being born? And the answer to that is yes. And I think a lot of people are like, well, I didn't realize this. So it starts a conversation, and it's hard to say women's rights, things like that. So I agree. I would like to see one much stronger, but I think this is a very good step in the right direction.
It is.
116, state income tax rate reduction. Yay!
Yes.
Yes.
You know, if it has a very, a very short amount of text to it, I'm usually on board with that.
Right.
You know, when you don't have to read a novel.
Well, that's because
this is very short,
and it's a bad deal.
Which leads us to 117, voter approval for certain new state enterprises. What this is, guys, is the state legislature, because we have the Tabor Amendment, so citizens have to vote on any official tax increases, like some of these other ballot initiatives. What the state legislature does, because they want more of your money, they just charge fees, all right? They call it a fee. And what this does, it to a certain extent, closes that fee loophole.
No, it doesn't close the fee.
But well, because it addresses it at least.
It's 100,000 or more.
Right.
And 100 million.
Yeah, that isn't anywhere enough, but it's, as you're talking about, a good start. And so that's an absolute.
It's just a crack in the shield that we have with the voter, you know, the protection that, that we get. I forgot the name of it.
Tabor.
Yeah, Tabor. It's just a crack in Tabor. It's what they're trying to do.
118, paid and family medical leave insurance program. Absolutely not.
No.
If we're trying to drive jobs out of Colorado, they're doing a great job of it.
Well, they're trying to increase the size of government.
Yeah.
And they're going to take money out of your paycheck, and they're going to create this fictitious group that you're going to fund. And when it falls short because they're not extracting enough, then they're going to go to the general fund, and they're going to want to raise taxes or fees.
Yes.
Right. So as I understand, the paid leave would be like anything, right? Like literally, if my cousin is worried about my dog that's sick, they can take a paid family leave. Mm-hmm. And so the employer, I mean, and our taxes have to pay for that. So it's, I mean, you know, no one will ever work again, and which is ridiculous considering that everybody's working from home now anyway. So shouldn't need to do it.
So let's go to judicial performance evaluations. What this was supposed to do originally is the state would appoint them, and then you could vote yes or no. Except no one knows who the judges are, with rare exception. So even when they have a nonpartisan panel recommend that somebody not be retained, they're still retained. It doesn't matter.
Nobody pays any attention.
Whether they're rapists, whether they steal money, whether they're unqualified with judicial temperament, it doesn't matter. So what everyone recommends is that you vote no on all the judges unless you think it's a good one, unless you know them, in which case you say yes. But the fact that everyone passes, it doesn't matter what it is, if we start doing it so that the approval rate starts going down in the 50s, some of the judges will care. Right now they laugh. They don't care. I mean, for example, we have Tommy Crespin, utterly unqualified to be a judge.
Even the panel recommended she not be.
And she will be retained.
But anyway, that's so to give though for our votes on this, what Chuck is basically saying is in general vote no. And Ben, you had a good point. We were talking about this the other day. Most of these judges have been appointed by Democrats.
There's only one on our ballot here in Adams County that was appointed by Bill Owen. And he is a county judge. I believe his name is Warren is like the second or third one from the bottom.
Okay, this won't be on. This is a statewide one. Okay.
So, but
yeah, he'll be on there.
He really knows and likes.
I like Judge Samore. He was a judge in the Aurora Theater shooting. I thought he
did a good job.
He did a good job on that.
Yes, on that one, but none of the other ones. Yeah. We're going to vote all no.
So I voted no on all of them except that one.
Yeah. That
Matt Arnold is the guru on all that. Yes. And he had an excellent site that I used to go to, but it's not been updated lately.
Well, you know.
So I'm in agreement with you. Yeah. If you don't know, vote no.
There you go.
That's all. Well, there as you said, the most of them have been appointed by Democrats, so they're going to push a Democrat agenda. These are all of the judges now who are pushing the no bond, people go. They're all, I mean, it's just ridiculous what the judges in Colorado are doing.
If anything, if you vote them out, at least you'll consume some time in the state house to reconfirm him.
Exactly.
But you'll get the judge.
Paul's just going to turn around and reappoint him.
Well, of course he is. But as a practical matter, if a judge is going to be thrown out by the will of the people, he's going to start thinking. If they, all of a sudden, instead of a 70 and 80% retention, you know, the vote approval, it starts getting 59, 58, then all of a sudden the judges are going to go, hey, I've got a really.
Maybe
so if you just want him to, you know, be a decent people, you need to have it go down.
Well, and it's tricky because they pulled attorneys, and I mean, I know I'm married to an attorney, but you know, attorneys I think are tricky because they don't want it to come back to bite. I mean, one thing attorneys don't ever want to do is get crossways with a judge. Right. So
especially if they're practicing in front of him, you know.
Exactly. Now, in Adams County, we had a couple, I think there were three other issues. So folks who live in Adams County, two of them had to do with continuing a sales tax. I would vote no on those. Ben, your thoughts?
Okay. I agree. I vote no.
The other one, and Chuck had a good point on this. So coroners in Colorado, which I believe is a bizarre practice, are elected, which means that I could be a coroner. I don't have any medical experience other than WebMD, but I could be the coroner. And it talked about not removing their term limits, which on one hand sounds kind of good because you think, well, if you get a good coroner, who wants to be coroner, right? If you get a good one, maybe you should keep him in there. But then as you pointed out, but if you get a bad one.
Well, in Adams County, we threw out a huge qualified sheriff for one who's incredibly unqualified. We threw out one of the best clerks in a court you ever have and got a hack. So if you think if this is just one of those other ones where they just want to get rid of all term limits, to tell you the truth.
Well, yeah, that's what they're trying to do. But, you know, interesting enough, the only individual legally that can arrest the sheriff of the county is the coroner.
Ah, well, and the other
only
thing,
person.
This is, and this is not used very much, but sometimes in Colorado, if there is a weird case, a weird the only experience I have had been death since it's a coroner, but this happened a long time ago in Boulder County where it's felt that the DA and the prosecutors are not doing their job. They can have what they call a coroner's inquest.
Right.
So it's kind of like a grand jury only through a coroner. But initially I was like, well, maybe this should be, maybe they don't need term limits, but then Chuck, it's like, you're right. He goes, what if you get a stupid one? So just no.
Well, you know, the issue is that at least you can, you know, vote and replace them. And so they're trying to just make it a political appointee.
Right, forever.
And well, particularly in Colorado. You know who's going to be the next coroner in Adams County and all the other counties. It's going to be a bunch of emerge candidates.
Yes,
screw around with our water rates, and they're going to be like, oh, you know, let's go be coroners too.
Well, the other thing that's interesting about the coroner's position is that you do not need any kind of a medical background.
No, I wasn't even joking. No, I could be the coroner.
But you also could be the sheriff. You also can be the coroner. You can be anything. So I want to get to one other thing because we're going to cover this Wednesday and we're almost out of time. The recall against all the people who raised all the water rates as well as are putting massive
high density
development right on Federal Boulevard
in Westminster
and everything else. They're doing great. because it's all volunteer, everything else. And we're going to have two of the recall people on Wednesday at 3 o'clock. And we're going to, and I know Ben is committed. I'm committed. Julie's committed. Right. If you live in Westminster and are a registered voter and you haven't yet signed the petition, you're invited to our house, or we'll come to yours. Chuck and Julie will come to your house. You tell us where you are, and we will come to your house and get your signature for the recall.
We'll bring one of these ladies that are running this. You know, I'd heard earlier today about this issue, that they are essentially being forced out of some of these locations that they set up their little booths, you know, to collect those signatures in those shopping centers.
I bet.
On 104th and Federal. The city is putting pressure on these owners not to allow that. So there you have, and I don't know if it's the city manager.
Of course it's city manager.
Yeah, you know.
But the mayor's telling us.
I know they were right now. I just drove by him. They're at the post office at 104th and Federal by there. But
we will come to your house. Yeah. Or you can come to our house and we'll give you something to eat.
What? Julie will make homemade pie. No.
Homemade pie. We're going to have the people there. They're closing in on their goal. They're only less than 1,000 off, which is, you know, but we got to get more than the minimum amount, because they'll do every crooked thing to keep it out. So this is really important.
That'll
for
be
anybody
on Wednesday.
Who lives in Westminster.
And we'll put more on the ballot. We'll talk more about that too. We'll put it up on our website. Ben, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben, for joining us.
Hey, you bet. I love your show. You guys are great.
Thank you so much. Thank you. If anybody is just now getting home from picking up their kid at school.
If you all enjoyed the show without Julie.
Thank you to everyone. Thanks to guys at BBS. Thank you for hanging in there and figuring out the podcast stuff yourself. Everybody, we will have a great Monday. You have a great Monday, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.